This is Lynn Singer coming to you live from Lotus Studios in New York City with another weekly podcast based on my book, Breaking Into Brilliance. Tonight, my guest is John Germain Leto, who has been a life coach and a shamanic practitioner for the last 13 years. John helps people to bring the fullest amount of heart to their lives. He facilitates consciousness programs such as plant medicine ceremonies, sacred travel, and workshops for those with a big mission in the world. Welcome, John.
It's wonderful to be here with you.
I particularly wanted you here, John, to discuss what it means to be a fully conscious human being. What can you tell us about that?
Well, diving right in, Lynn, I had to smile just simply at the question, because to me, being a fully conscious human being, there's such a paradox, if you will, and even just the question. And what I mean by that is, well, it seems like to me, as humans, we're always falling short. Mm-hmm. And yet to be fully conscious somehow also means that we always seem to make the right choices. And so those two things for me are diametrically opposed to each other.
But what do you mean that we always make the right choices? I think that I don't believe I always make the right choices. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And so for me, and just as an example of what I'm talking about, and just follow me here, give me a second to get into this if I may. But for me, being a fully conscious human being means never having to say sorry to yourself. Mm-hmm. By the nature of being human, I'm going to fall short mm-hmm. in spite of my best efforts. Mm-hmm. And yet being fully conscious means always making the right choices that mm-hmm. if I'm not going to be the ideal that I would like to be, then what often happens is as humans, we tend to beat ourselves up. Mm-hmm. We tend to live with shame, with guilt. Mm-hmm. And so for me, being a fully conscious human being is actually doing away with shame and guilt altogether.
That would be wonderful.
It doesn't mean that we don't strive to be our best. It doesn't mean that we don't strive to open up to love or see what the greatest act of love we can do or participate in any moment. Mm-hmm. But it means, for me, it means loving yourself enough to be able to drop shame and guilt completely.
That would just be extraordinary. Wouldn't that be extraordinary if the planet could do that? It was just an amazing, just went through me, an amazing sense of relief and openness and beauty in the world. That's wonderful. So this paradox that's in us, let's talk more about that.
Sure.
Well, how do you see our paradox? I mean, certainly we're in a black and white world. We're in good, we're in evil.
Well, see, to me, Lynn, that's the whole thing, mm-hmm. is that when we can understand that the nature of our very existence mm-hmm. is in essence paradox. Mm-hmm. The nature of our existence is polarity. You know, there's awake, asleep, light, dark, mm-hmm. in, out. Mm-hmm. And so this is best illustrated to me simply by our breath. Mm-hmm. It's in and out. And so by the nature of us choosing to be a human, choosing to incarnate, choosing to be here, we've already made the choice to live. You know, our hearts just beat without us trying to. Most of the time we breathe without doing it very consciously. And so the nature of our existence then is in this in-out, this paradoxical relationship. And when I say paradox, it's in essence when you're trying to be two different things at the same time mm-hmm. or trying to hold two different belief mm-hmm. systems at the same time. For instance, people work very hard to be proud of themselves. You know, people who typically, you know, they could be proud of the home they have or the car that they drive or whatever it may be. And that is, in essence, can be a good thing. People can work very hard so that they can look themselves in the mirror and actually be proud of themselves. And yet, as a society, we say, don't be proud. Well, we don't want to, oh, he's so proud, right. as if that's some right. sort of insult. So, mm-hmm. again, it's a paradox.
Mm-hmm. In your practices of consciousness, of traveling to sacred places, because you do travel to extraordinary sacred places to be with the indigenous people, what certain things that work to help people calm down enough to hold this paradox?
It's a wonderful question, Lynn. It's a big question.
I know.
It was interesting. I got to spend 2 months in Bali this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because in Bali, not only the light is celebrated, but the dark as well.
Talk about that, please.
And so it's interesting. It was interesting. What was most interesting to me about the people of Bali is that they make their offerings and spend a good chunk of their income, by the way. I mean, this is a rather poor country. Mm-hmm. The people don't have much. And yet every single day, they make these very elaborate arrangements, putting forth a sizable percentage of their income for spiritual matters in making these offerings of buying the incense, of buying the palm leaves, of buying the flowers, of buying all the different foods that a lot of them could really use to eat. And instead, they're making that as an offering to both the light and the dark spirits.
Because they know that that's what's going to keep them clear and strong.
Yes. Mm. And it's very interesting. Of all the places I've been on the planet, it was in Indonesia, in the little island of Bali, that I was most present to the polarity of spirit. I'll just speak very, very freely. Every single day I would go make my offerings with mm-hmm. my tobacco in the mm-hmm. way that I make offerings to the land, make offerings to the spirits mm-hmm. of the land. And I've learned how to do that from different indigenous cultures, both in Peru and also in Colombia, the indigenous tribe of the Kogi that I've had the privilege to spend some time with.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting because it was almost like some of the offerings were an appeasement to the dark energies there. And I literally almost, I could see them, you know, taking bites out of the tobacco, taking bites out of things. And then the light energy would take one little piece. But it was literally as if they were like taking bites, like eating it to appease themselves, these darker energies. When I got back to Southern California and I would make my offerings to the land here, there was no energy that was taking bites out of anything. There was nothing. It was just somehow the darker energies were just a little more potent there. It's interesting because one of the things that has really had a deep impact on my own personal life are some of the plant medicine ceremonies that I've been able to participate in. And the interesting thing is when you're in a plant medicine ceremony and you typically have an intention. And so I'll give you the exact intention I had this one particular day. It was like, you know, spirit, show me a beautiful life of love and choice.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, by the very nature of the way that the plant medicines typically work is that then they show you everything that is preventing you from having that beautiful life of love and choice.
Perfect.
And it's oftentimes horrible. It's an awful experience. I get pains in different places in my body and, mm-hmm. you know, what is this about? Mm-hmm. And I'm just really mm-hmm. struggling with mm-hmm. all of this. And so they're showing you exactly the darkness that there is to look at,
mm-hmm.
to shine the light on.
What I'm asking is the
yes.
people that just want it to be good, who have a great difficulty being in the conflict of the paradox, how do you work with them when you have a client who wants to work with you,
sure.
wants to travel with you even, which would be very intense for a lot of people, but yet when these dark things start being shown to them, they can't hold them.
The answer, Lynn, is to slow down your rate of breath.
Mm-hmm. And that's how you work with people usually about it?
Because, and this is what was actually happening to me in the middle of the experience,
mm-hmm.
is I actually got into fight or flight,
which is
a common response.
Absolutely.
When something scary is shown to us, we get frightened.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the nature of being a human being.
I want to run away.
And yet the fully conscious part that maybe I'm striving for or that I can contribute to others in some way, as long as our rate of breath is fast, and typically it is when we're in fight or flight, whenever we're activated or in a triggered state, and we're seeing something that is scary, sometimes it's the rate of breath that is, it's like a different thought with every breath.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so if your rate of breath is very fast, it's so many thoughts, so many things,
mm-hmm.
you can't hold it all. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can slow down your rate of breath, and this could be for anything, you don't have to be in the middle of a plant medicine
ceremony. It also can take a long time, longer than what most people want to know about, to do that fully, You know, slowing down your rate of breath, really slowing it down, can take some time.
It can.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you're looking for, I don't know, and I think you were the one who told me that there are not really many shortcuts to being the fully conscious human mm-hmm. being, or not many shortcuts to someone getting, you know, a level of consciousness to be able to be more or achieve more in their life. And so it may take a little while, mm-hmm. but that's why I think they call this a journey.
Right.
That is one thing that can certainly make a difference. The other thing that I think can also help is that, and it's something that I've opened up to so much in the energy medicine path that I've been exploring in a very in-depth way now for the last 8 years, is for people to really understand to a greater degree the entire energy that they carry.
Mm.
Of course, we are more than this bag of skin and bones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if there is an energy field around a plant, you better believe there's one around each of us.
Right.
And it's not even a matter of just like, you know, what people at the New Agers used to call an aura, or science calls your electromagnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ancient Egyptians called it your ka body.
Mm-hmm.
But it's having a deeper understanding of all of the layers of this energetic field that extends about 20 or 30 feet in every direction
really?
Around each of our human bodies.
Really? It's that
and
far
when,
out.
And right. So when you can understand just how complicated, just how in-depth this mm-hmm. energy field is, mm-hmm. not only to understand that it's there,
mm-hmm.
but to be able to work with someone who can influence events there, who can, mm-hmm. the heavy energy that people can be carrying from past wounds, from past traumas, typically when we're in a situation where we are experiencing difficulty or fight or flight, or there's some darkness we're trying to look at, well, we've looked at it before,
mm-hmm.
and it's caused some pain for us in our life. And when now we're looking at it again, it's not just the incident we're looking at, but it's every single incident from the past where it also happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so if someone is not aware that this is being triggered in their overall energy, which extends out, then it can make it very difficult to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you can work with a skilled practitioner who can locate, who can understand where that heaviness may be located within the energy body and can remove some of it, can literally extract it
right.
from the energy body,
right.
then it makes dealing with the whole situation, being able to hold both the light and the dark, much easier.
Right.
And that's what I do as an energy medicine practitioner,
mm-hmm.
to be able to locate where someone is holding that heavy energy and simply remove it so that people are more able to go in the direction they'd like to go in. So they mm. are more able to hold the full duality that we live in.
Great. That's really a wonderful thing to say, that people can. There are many ways that people are working on themselves now, through many, many ways. But it's very powerful to hear that this kind of energy, actually, it's like at the bottom of quantum physics, you know, you're at point zero and this can be removed, and you have that ability to do that.
I'm one of many people that have the ability to do
that. I understand that. There's shamans around the whole world. I think it must be a very extraordinary experience to take people to certain places on a journey with other kinds of shamans, with people whose practices are different than yours, and to see where they go with this, because it's a very extraordinary, very powerful, very conscious, and with holding a great deal of beauty.
Mm.
And I think that's very strongly connected to the shamanic possibilities, and also the indigenous people have been here for so long, and they have the answers that we are now just coming to grips with, you know.
To me, and it really is an exciting time in that way,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get back to your question of, you know, what does it mean to be a fully conscious human being?
Mm-hmm.
It means to to have that intent.
Right.
If someone has that intent to be a fully conscious
right.
human being, I think it's, what's important is not really so much how I would define it, but it's how each individual
would
define that. It's one or the other. You're either on a path of being more awake, we're on a path of being more asleep.
That's right.
And so again, you know, duality here, and we have that choice. We have a choice whether to live, again, paradox, love or fear, as it's just been, you know, said in so many different New Age texts. You know, but I think it's up to each individual. You know, it's, you know, even some of my recent thoughts and thinking about oneness and how the you know, someone doesn't get to oneness, which is a unity, right, of the of the light and dark, thinking about oneness or telling yourself I'm one.
Right. You need to be on a journey. You need to be looking. You need to be working with people. Working
For me, you get to oneness by looking at all of those areas of your life where you feel division, where you feel separate from, and actually shine a light there and see what needs to be done to heal this situation. What needs to be done to bring this situation to completion?
Jung said you don't get the light by looking at the light or for the light. You get the light by looking into the darkness.
Wholeheartedly agree with that as well.
Thank you, John. This has been wonderful. So much information, so much helpful information. John Germain Leto can be reached at johnandeden.com. John lives in Laguna Beach, in California, with his wife, Eden, and their two extraordinary children. This is Lynn Singer, and this has been another Breaking into Brilliance podcast. Thank you for joining me. I hope you enjoyed this discussion. I certainly have. And until we meet again, light, beauty, and peace be with you.